It is a privilege to be here with you this morning. I'm Jonathan, and we get to talk about something really special this morning. I'm very excited about. It's something that's caused the rise and fall of kingdoms. It's something that has been treasured by some. It's been burned by others. I want to talk this morning about something that has confused the smartest people in the history of humankind, and yet has been understood and grasped by the least educated ever. It's the Word of God. Can we take some time this morning to talk about the Scriptures? I hope that's a yes. Let's do it. I want to talk about the Holy Scriptures passed down through the ages and available to us here today. And I want to talk about how amazing that is. Not something to be taken lightly or taken for granted. My goal this morning really is to discuss the beauty and the power and the necessity of the Word of God. At the end, we were welcoming our children with us here today. At the end, I want to speak a little bit to the families that are here and talk some about how can we as family units ensure that the Word of God is valued and treasured in our families as well. So hang on for that. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13. You've heard it before, but I want to read it again to you. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. For the Word of God. Again, I'm going to pause, actually, because there's a danger that when I tell people I'm preaching about the Bible or about the Scriptures, we gloss over and we check out because this is something we've heard before. How dare I tune out when we are talking about the words of God? I don't say how dare you, but how dare I? Because I have done that as well. So let's look at these scriptures together. For the word of God is alive and powerful. The word of God is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that we get from your word. But God, save us from the idea that your word is just meant to encourage us. God, save us from the idea that your word is just meant to help us live a better life. God, remind us today that your word is the message of the King. That your word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is sharp and is accurate and is true. Is powerful. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you watch news very much, but I had a friend recently, crazy friend, American, who took a trip to North Korea. So if you watch news very much, you know, North Korea and the United States, they're not really buddy-buddy, not real friendly with each other. And this friend, when he told me he was going to North Korea as a tourist, you know, I mean, after I got done slapping, I'm like, what are you doing? Americans don't typically visit North Korea. And then he said that he took his Bible with him. I'm like, yeah, you know, you're an idiot. But he took his Bible with him. And he says a very fascinating thing happened. They let him into the country with his English Bible. But they inventoried it. They labeled it. They checked it. And they told him, if you don't leave the country with this same Bible, ... In other words, you're allowed to come into North Korea as an American with an English Bible, but you better make sure that when you leave this country, that Bible is in your possession. Why? Because they know something that we forget, and that is that the Scriptures are extremely powerful. They tear down regimes. They build up kingdoms. The Scriptures, through the power of the Holy Spirit, changes people, changes countries, changes families, changes hearts. Do you believe that? The North Koreans believe that. And they're right. They're absolutely right. The Scriptures are powerful. They're also beautiful. They're so beautiful. They reveal Christ. The scriptures reveal Christ. They show us his heart. They show us his mind. They show us the glorious nature of our God. A holy book indeed. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." Matthew 24, 35 echoes that. "Heaven and earth will pass away." Just ponder that for a second. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never fade away. They will never pass away. The word reveals his character. It reveals his wisdom. It reveals his plan from ages past. That's why I'm excited to talk about the Bible today. Because it is necessary and powerful and beautiful and valuable and worthy to be remembered as a treasure that it is. Okay? The necessity of the word. I've been in Cambodia about 5.5 years, and I don't know that I ever realized the necessity of the word until I started living here. The necessity in my own life of being regularly exposed to the gospel through the word. And the longer I do pastoral counseling, that's my day job. I work at a place called Living Well, and I meet with mostly Christians, expats, missionaries, and some Cambodians. But the more I do that, the more I believe in the necessity of the scriptures in the lives of God's people. And I'm just going to say this. I believe that the scriptures are entirely necessary to your emotional health and well-being as you live and serve overseas or maybe in your country, your passport country. The scriptures are necessary for your emotional well-being and your family's health. Many of us study the Bible as part of our job, which is great. We teach from it, we learn from it, we read it, we study it, and we spread it. You know, the danger, though, is that we study the bread of life so much that we forget to eat it. And that's sad. And will leave us starving. We talk about the joy of the Lord, but we forget to drink the wine. So if that's you this morning, if you've fallen out of practice of just sitting with the word, not so you can teach it, but just sitting with the word. I'm glad that you study the word to teach it. But if you've fallen out of the habit of just spending time with the word of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, I'd like to invite you back to that practice. There's a chance you're trying to eat manna you collected yesterday. And that doesn't work very well. His mercies are new every morning, and the manna falls daily. Now, maybe you've never really been much into the scriptures. Well, I'd like today to encourage you to taste and see that the Lord is good and that his word endures forever. Maybe you're here and you're not even a Christian, and I'm really super glad that you're here. And I want to encourage you. You say, what's the big deal? It's just a book. Fine, let's start with that. Have you read it? If you're here and you're not a Christian, welcome. Try reading it. See what you think. If you're going through a rough patch in life, start in the Psalms. If you're not quite sure who this Jesus is, start in the Gospels. Start in Mark. Start in John. Find out what the big deal is. Right, we're going to read together Psalm 19. We're going to kind of pivot here. So if we could put that the first part of Psalm 19 on the screen. Would you just, let's stand and read the entirety of Psalm 19 together. Okay? Here we go. "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins, and don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. It is majestic, it is powerful, and it is here. And we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that helps us to see, to know, to remember who you are, and so much more. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. So according to Psalm 19, what do the commands of the Lord do? What does the word of the Lord do? And I want to ask you, as we go through these, I want to ask you to raise your hand if that sounds like something you could use now, or maybe at some time in the past you could have used this. The words of the Lord revive the soul, is refreshing or converting. Take a deep breath with me. Sometimes we forget to breathe. Raise your hand if you've ever felt like, man, you could really use some refreshment or some reviving. Really? Really? Okay, raise your hand if you've ever felt like, man, I need some refreshment or some reviving or even some conversion. Yeah, okay. The word of the Lord makes the simple wise. Does that sound good? Raise your hand if you've ever desired more wisdom than you felt like you had. Some of you are like, you know what? I was born wise, and I don't even know why we're talking about this. But, you know, and I'll meet you in the counseling room. But, yeah, we need that. What about the word? It brings joy to the heart. It means to brighten up, to make gleeful. Raise your hand if you've ever felt like, man, you could really use some more joy in your life. Like, I need joy so I can raise my hand. Man, I'm so exhausted. Yeah, okay. But it gives insight for living. Literally, this means to make luminous, to enlighten. Raise your hands if you've ever felt like, man, you need some of that. Yeah. You see, too often when we want refreshment or wisdom or joy or insight, the scriptures are the last place we look. And that's too bad. Let me say that again. Many times when we want refreshment or wisdom or insight or joy, the scriptures are way low on the list of places we look. Seems to me, actually, when we're looking for wisdom or looking for insight, we Google something. Have you ever done that? How big, I don't know, what do I do now? What do I do with this condition? What do I do, blah, blah, blah. Google is amazing. I love Google. We Google something when we need wisdom or insight. What do we do when we need refreshment or joy? Seems to me that we ogle something. We lust after something, typically, when we long for refreshment or joy. We certainly don't look in the scriptures. But what would happen if we opened the word and invited the Spirit of God to show us the mind of Christ? What would happen if we did that? You see, his word is more desirable than gold. I just want to ask, do you live your life like that? Do you live your life like the word of God is more desirable than money? The word of God is sweeter than the sweetest thing they had at that time, honey. The word of God is sweeter than honey. The scriptures magnify his magnificence, and they redirect us, and they refocus us. Now, I am a fan of education, huge fan of education. I love that my wife homeschools our kids. People say, oh, do you guys homeschool? And I say, actually, no. My wife homeschools the kids, and we're all glad about that. I'm a big fan of education. I'm a big fan of blogs. My wife and I write blogs. I love reading blogs. I'm a big fan of the news. I read the international news every day. It's my homepage on my web browser. But human thought and human reason and human ideas, although they are good, must be kept in the realm of not God. Not God's thoughts. Maybe some of God's thoughts are in that blog or on the news or through education. But we have to keep in mind that God's thoughts are not necessarily in all of those things. See, I need to return to the slow chewing of the Word of God. And maybe you do too. The slow sort of ruminating, meditating on the Word of God. Sometimes we gorge ourselves on the Word in conferences, and we love to hear big speakers share the Word of God, and that's not bad. I listen to podcasts and watch great speakers online. I'm grateful when we have powerful speakers come through here. And conferences, my life has been changed through conferences in the States. Love it. But I need more than the gorging of conferences to sustain a holy life and to sustain a relationship with Christ. And you do too. We all do. I need time with my God. I need time with the Scriptures and the razor edge of the Holy Spirit to keep me aware of His mind, of His heart, for me, for people, for the nations. Psalm 119, verse 130, says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Let's read that again. "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Now, I believe that there are two cautions that should be given here pertaining to the reading of the Scriptures. Two errors that we can fall into. One is that we read the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit. In the tradition that I'm from, I think that was our primary error. There's a huge value on the Scriptures, but it totally disconnected from the Holy Spirit. And that's an error. So error number one is to read the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit. But error number two is also an error and is also a danger. And that is to try to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit disconnected from the Scriptures. That too is dangerous. And will lead a people, or will lead me down the wrong path. So again, to read the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit will probably lead me away from the heart of God. But to pursue a relationship with the Holy Spirit without the Scriptures is also dangerous. If you are hungry for a special word from the Lord, but you're not spending much time in the Word, you're not as hungry as you think you are. I'm going to say this again, because I've really been chewing on this week. If you are hungry for a special word from God, but you're not spending much time in the Word of God, you are not as hungry as you think you are. You're kidding yourself. Sometimes we just want God to show up with his lightning bolts, and that's not necessarily a Christian image. Although I do think God does that, and I don't want to minimize this. I do believe that sometimes God does shoot his lightning bolts of revelation. Sometimes I do think he does that. I've seen it here in this place. But that's not the primary way that we live. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, the Amplified Version. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says, "Like newborn babies, you should long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may be nurtured and grow in respect to salvation." And this word to long for, I was a little bit surprised when I looked up sort of the backstory of that phrase, but to dote upon or to intensely crave, to earnestly desire, and also to lust for. In the KJV, that word is translated lust occasionally. I don't know what to make of that, but like newborn babies, earnestly desire the pure milk of the Word. No, when you or I expose your spirit to the Word of God, enlivened and animated by the Holy Spirit, watch out, as things are about to change. Now, let's just look briefly at Jesus' example. He spent a lot of time in the scriptures. We know how many times he directly quoted the Hebrew scriptures, what we call the Old Testament now. He quoted mostly from the Psalms, Exodus, Deuteronomy, and Isaiah. Dozens of times he quoted from those books. Dozens and dozens of times. But he also directly quoted, not just an inference, but he directly quoted from every single book in the Pentateuch and many of the prophets and the scattering of those around. In other words, Jesus knew the scriptures. You know that. I'm just reminding you. Jesus knew the scriptures. Now, here's a point, though. Jesus, the Son of God, did not rely on direct connection with the Father for fresh revelation all the time. That seems strange to me. We know that he connected with the Father in prayer all the time and that he only did what he saw the Father doing. We know that, but I want to just make this clear. Jesus, the Son of God, did not rely on that direct connection with the Father all the time for fresh revelation. That's sobering to me. Jesus was steeped in the scriptures, and he quoted them all the time. If Jesus needed the direction and the framework of the scriptures, how much more do I need to steep myself like tea, just to surround myself with the Word of God? I do. The necessity of the Word, I believe, in Jesus' life is made most poignant with how he used the Word in temptation. Also in bad times, just as a side note, when Jesus quoted from the Psalms, again, the Psalms is the book in the Old Testament that he quoted the most, and most of the time when Jesus quoted a psalm, his life was falling apart, or things were going very badly for him. So when people have abandoned him, when he's hung on a cross, when bad things are happening to him, what does Jesus do? He returns to the Psalms. That's amazing. During temptation, what does Jesus do? He does not rely on his own strength to fight temptation. He says over and over, what? What does he say? It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I would say our first term in Cambodia, one of the passages that Jesus quoted there at the end of the temptation was what got me through our first term. I had typhoid fever. We had a bunch of bad stuff happen in our family, extended family, back in America. And I wrote this down on my wall. I think I've told you this story before. I will worship the Lord my God, and I will serve only him. I will worship the Lord my God, and I will serve only him. It was one of the only things I prayed for months on end. But, you know, I think God's okay with that. At the end of the temptation, this is what Jesus says to Satan. Satan leaves, angels come. It sounds like a pretty good deal. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve only him. What I would love to see through us as a congregation is a renaissance, a revival of non-crisis Bible reading. Do you know what I mean by that? Non-crisis Bible reading. I think we should read the Bible in crisis. We should, absolutely, at somebody's deathbed or when things are not going well. We should use the scriptures in crisis. But I want to see us loving the non-crisis reading of the scriptures. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I'm preaching to myself as well. Can we ramp up our non-crisis reading of the Bible? I think it's kind of like eating. Do you like eating? Does anybody else like eating? Please raise your hands. Seriously. Come on, you're leaving me hanging. Do I need to start naming restaurants? Okay, because I will. That is, yeah, but you know what? I do not remember every meal that I eat. Some are better than others. Huh? Every meal that Elizabeth makes is better than others. Right? I'll just try to earn some points there. But I don't remember all of them. Does that mean they're less worthy? No, I don't Instagram all of them. Not all food is Instagrammable. And some of you really need to know that. You don't have to take a picture of everything you eat. Come on. But anyway, the point is not that each bite is magnificent. The point is not that each meal is just ecstatic and it gives me something to put on Twitter or to tell my friends. The point is that the regular consumption of calories is necessary for survival. My wife is laughing at me because that sounds really stupid, doesn't it? Yeah, I know. So sometimes I just state the obvious. The regular consumption of calories, just to make this clear, is necessary for survival. And it's exactly the same with the Word of God. Not every time you sit down and read the Word is it going to be mind-blowing. That's okay. Because sometimes, as Christians, you just need the calories. And I just need the calories. And it may not seem like it makes... You're like, you do not need the calories. But whatever, let's put that aside. Sometimes you just need the calories. And it may not seem like it's going to make a difference today or tomorrow. Just like eating. It may not seem like it's going to make a difference today or tomorrow. But I guarantee you, in a year or 10 or 50 years, your regular, boring consumption of the Word of God will make a vast difference in your life, in your family's life, and in anyone you come in contact with. It does not all have to be magnificent for it to be sustaining, for it to be good, and for it to be right. You see, God loves to echo himself. I love saying this. God loves to echo himself. And I want to be listening for God's echo in my world and in my life. And this is a test that I use when I'm counseling folks. Because a lot of times I do a type of prayer counseling where we're sitting, we're listening, where maybe the client is feeling some deep pain, and then we're going to pray and ask God to speak and ask God to bring healing and ask the Holy Spirit to be present and to share the truth. And sometimes people who aren't quite used to that are real nervous about that. And I always say, listen, this is the only test that I have to say, well, is this from God? Is this a direct word from God? And I don't know. But here's my two-part test. Is it biblical? The thing you feel like maybe God said to you when we were silent, or that image that you feel like God showed you. I don't know. Let's ask. Is it biblical? And is the fruit good? That's all I got. And if somebody has some image of God putting their heart back together, and it's this, you know, really amazing image, and I say, well, is that biblical? Is that a biblical concept? You take the pieces of my life and put them back. Yeah, that's a biblical concept. I'm okay with calling that biblical. What's the fruit? People are crying with joy on their face and say, well, I feel at peace. Okay, end of discussion. Is it biblical? And is the fruit good? So if you only ask one of those, you can kind of go sideways easily. But if you put those two together, I think that we need this test. Because we live in a culture sometimes or a line of work where people use that God card often. God told me this, or God said this, or God whatever. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Yeah, we all say it all the time, and it's not a bad phrase. Actually, it's a very good phrase, and as Christians who are connected to the Holy Spirit, we should often be connecting with God. We should often be hearing from God. But what I'm saying is I think we need to be listening for the echo of God and say, okay, that thing that I heard from God, when has he said that before? What is he echoing here? Where has God said this before? Does this sound like God? And the only way I can really know that is if I've spent time in the scriptures, listening to God's stories. Yeah. You may think, well, but what about people who don't know how to read? And that's actually a really, really valid question. Particularly in our families. We have children, maybe in our ministry life, we interact with folks all the time who can't read. And I would say, well, that's actually more normal than literacy. There's no problem there. The question is, I mean, many in Jesus' day did not know how to read. The question is, did they value the Word of God? Did they value the telling of God's stories? The old stories and the new stories. What God has done in the past and what God is doing now. So we need both. So, talking about families, again, we're just welcoming the children in with us today and speaking to you as a father, someone who's definitely not got this perfect. I'm trying to learn from those around me, and I feel like I'm so blessed to sit even in the counseling room with folks who are older than me and learn from them. In your family culture, do you tell God's stories? In your family culture, do you value the telling of God's stories? It's okay if your kids don't know how to read yet, It's okay if the people you're working with don't know how to read. That's not a block to valuing the Word of God. If you're demonstrating a love and passion for God's stories, for His Word. See, I don't want to just take my family, I don't want to just take my kids and kind of dunk them real fast in the Scriptures a little bit here and a little bit there. You know, I'm American, so I like coffee, but a lot of you guys may like tea, whatever, it's fine. But tea bags, they have to be left in for a little while. People tell me that. They have to steep a little bit. Is that the right word? Some British person tell me. Okay, it's Commonwealth something. Okay, good. I don't want to take my kids and just plop them in a Sunday service where they're going to hear the Scriptures and then plop them out. It's not going to be very effective. So let me just speak to you. If you have children here at ICA, this is not going to happen by accident and will not happen on Sunday alone. I'm super grateful for the children's teachers, youth leaders, who pour in and speak the Word of God to my kids. That's not going to be enough, probably. That's not going to be enough to instill in my children a love for the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? There's a lot of parents asking that question. A lot of parents ask this question. How can a young person stay on the... More like, how can I make my young person stay on the path of purity? Well, that's not what the Scripture says. It just says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? Oh, we have the internet, for crying out loud. I didn't have to deal with the internet. You know, my neighbor had to show me his pornography under his brother's bed when I was 9 years old. Now there's the internet. Everything's half a millisecond away. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? Great question. By living according to your word. Verse 11, same chapter. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So again, families, my children need the word of God. They do not just need me telling them what's in it. My children do not just need me telling them what's in the Bible. And they don't just need me telling them to read it, although those are good things. They need to see me modeling what does it mean to treasure the Word of God. Have you ever heard the idea that the best thing you can do for your children is to love your spouse well? Have you ever heard that? I'm just curious. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that. The best thing that you can do for your children is to love your spouse well. Some people really don't like that idea. I do like the idea because it means I get to hang out with my wife more. And I do believe that it's true. But I also think this applies to the Word of God, that the best thing that I can do for my children in helping them to connect with the Word of God is to demonstrate somebody, hopefully, who values and treasures the stories of God. Not me telling them what to read. Not me telling them that I do. Not them telling me that they're going to need it one day. But them seeing somebody, hopefully, again, we're all on a journey here, seeing someone who values it. And that's the best thing that you as a parent can do for your child is to demonstrate to them somebody who absolutely values and treasures the Word of God. Again, Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. I'm going to say this again because I want to say a couple things about this. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And sometimes, as parents, we want to be the lamp for our kids forever. We want to be the lamp for their feet forever. And you know, I think there's a place for that when they're little. And as they're growing, there's a place for us as parents to help shine a light so they can see the next step for a little while. But there will come a time when my kids and when your kids will need something brighter than a lamp that you can provide. Their path will someday be very dark, and you will not have access to them, or they will not have access to you, and they will need in that place the Word of God to be a lamp for their feet. I cannot do it forever. In fact, I think I can do it for much less time than I think I can. And I bet you have less light for their path than you think you do. And that's not to say you have nothing, and I hope that doesn't sound real depressing. What I'm trying to say is there will come a time when your kids need the Word of God to be a lamp for their feet, because they won't have access to you. Or maybe they won't want access to you. And at that place, at that point, they will need the Scriptures more than ever. Okay. Wow, it's really quiet in here. Take a deep breath. People are like, man, dude, you just slapped us. I'm sorry. I just really feel about this. I want to show you a couple things. So we can put that first image on the screen. Just a couple really simple ideas. Again, show the picture of that app. Again, there's just some ideas for how do we encourage us as people of God to value and love the Word of God. I don't know if you have downloaded this app before. I think it used to be called YouVersion. You can just look on both app stores, find that. It's available in tons of different languages and with Bible reading plans. I want to let you know this, in case you don't know this. Not everybody wants to sit down and read, but this app will actually read the passages to you so you can be doing something else, and you don't have to purchase an audio Bible. This app has as part of the, it's free, has I think it's free, has part of, as part of the app, it will read the Scriptures to you or to your kids if you want to or if they want to. So it's a great app. The next one, I just wanted to demonstrate something that I do. I don't know if anybody else has noticed this, but it's very hard to read an open Bible in Cambodia. They have thin pages and fans. Does that bother anybody else? No, it's just me. Okay. Oh, my calculator down on one side and my phone down on the other side. I'm trying not... Okay, thank you. Hannah is annoyed by that. So I end up doing a lot of reading on my Kindle, and Bible reading on my Kindle. And I struggle with this because I used to have a Bible reading plan that I kept in my Bible. But on the Kindle, it's a bit harder. And so what I did is I just put a bookmark at the Psalm, where I was in the Psalms, where I was in the Proverbs, where I was in the Gospels, and then where I was in the rest of the New Testament. And right now, I don't have a specific plan that I'm going through. But when I'm sitting down to read, I'd be like, okay, where am I at? Am I going to read some Psalms today, or maybe some more in Hebrews? And then I'll just change the bookmark when I'm done. Again, this is just me trying to figure it out. So if it's helpful for you, great. If you do a lot of your Bible reading on a Kindle, this has been very helpful for me to keep track of where I'm at in different portions of the Scriptures. Again, it's not prescriptive. It's just describing what one of the things that has worked for me. Okay, let's switch the next shot. This, I've got a hard copy here if you're interested in looking at that. But I think Elizabeth bought it in America. It's not available on Kindle. I apologize. But if you have access to the Amazon store or get something shipped to a friend, this is one of the best children's Bible teaching books that I have ever seen in my life. We are working through it as a family. It's not American-centric. I know a lot of stuff that's produced in America is very Western-centric. This is not. It feels very globally minded to me as we read through it. It does not feel... I don't even know if it's from America. Is it from the UK? Or? Okay, yeah. But it doesn't feel like it's from America, and I appreciate that in this context. It's just good. It's very solid. There's not a lot of dogma. There's just really basic teaching. If you want to take a look at it, I'll just put it up here afterwards. Check that out. Again, it's on Amazon, but it's not on Kindle, unfortunately. So I wanted to show you this one as well. This is the next picture, the Jesus Storybook Bible for family devotionals. This is more for younger kids. I would say that the first one I showed is maybe more for, I don't know, upper grade school, but this is more younger kids, the Jesus Storybook Bible. This is available on Kindle. I don't get any kickbacks for any of this. I just love these books, and they've worked very well in our family. So check those out if you want to, and that's here. The last thing, I don't think there's a picture of this. That was the end of the pictures, right? I think that was the end of the pictures. Yep. This is just a really basic Bible reading plan that breaks up the Scriptures into the epistles, the law, history, psalms, poetry, prophecy, and the Gospels. We have about 50 copies of this on the back table if you're interested in it. And it's designed to be for daily readings across. I used it that way several years in a row and then got bored because I get bored with just a normal plan. I get bored. I have to change things up. So I just said, you know what? I really need to spend some time in the Gospels. So for 1 year, this just helped me know what the approximate size of sections to read. And so I would just read the Gospel sections over and over and then just have a different type of check mark next to it. Just helped me keep track of where I was. All right, so again, just FYI, this isn't rocket science, and if you've got something that you really enjoy and how you read the scriptures, fine. But if you want this, there's about 50 copies on the back table back there. Okay, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back on up. All right, so we show all this stuff, but I just want to remind you, there's no magic tool. There's no app that's going to, you know, generate a love for the scriptures in your family. It's not that easy, but it might be simple. Are we willing to value the power of the scriptures to realize that when we sit with the Word of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit, something powerful is happening, even if it doesn't feel this time like something amazing? Okay. And I will say this to the families, just one last thing to the families. I can almost guarantee you that if you don't love the Word of God, your kids probably won't either. Just heads up. If you don't love and value and treasure the Word of God, your kids probably aren't going to either. So just to conclude as they get ready to play, the Scriptures teach us what God sounds like. They just do. The Word of God teaches us the mind of Christ. They help us to hear His voice. The Scriptures help us to see His hands, to watch Him work. They show us His character as a warrior and as a lamb. The whole arc of the Scriptures, of course, bends towards Jesus. And that story is the story of our lives and our salvation. So why don't you stand with me, and I just want to invite you here as we sing this song, Good, Good Father. I think that's what we're singing. I just want to invite you in this place, in response to these truths, to join me in praising God for the gift of the Scriptures. But also, if you feel like, man, you really need to commit or recommit to loving the Word of God, I want to invite you to do that. You can come up and pray with somebody if you want. The prayer team will be up front to pray with you. If you feel like you need to commit or recommit to loving the Word of God, the treasure that He has given us, I invite you to do it here during this time. If you need to repent for viewing the Word of God lightly, I do. If you need to repent for viewing or handling the Word of God lightly, the very words of the King as disposable, then I invite you to repent before God. And may we be a people who love to sit under the Word of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit. May we be people who see this is amazing, this treasure that we have in the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures are what teach us that He is a good, good Father. The song echoes something. The song echoes the truth. And man, I want to hear the echoes of God. And I want to say, is it true? Is it biblical? Yeah, it's biblical. What's the fruit of that? What's the fruit of really grasping that He is a good, good Father? Or that He is the Almighty King? Are those biblical concepts? And what's the fruit in my life? So as we sing, let's praise God for the Word. And if you need to repent, do it here. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your Word. And thank You for Your people here today. God, we love You. We love Your Word. We love the presence of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that He is ever present with us. We thank You that You have promised to send Him and You have sent Him. And that we have confidence. We have peace. We have this deep, deep shalom because of what You have done, because of who You are. And God, I pray over your people today that you would resurrect in us a passion for your word. God, that you would refresh our souls, that you would convert our souls, that you would bring joy and insight and wisdom and satisfaction through your presence and through the power of your scriptures. God, may we be the people who say, it is written. God, when we come face to face with really hard stuff, or when the enemy is attacking, God, may we not be so arrogant to think that we can beat Satan, but may we be your people who say, you know what? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. You know, it is written. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve only him. It is written. God, we thank you for having written. We thank you for having sent your son. May we love you, God, and may our families, may our churches, may our relationships be so full of your stories that it just leaks out all over everyone around us and waters the ground. That people would see, they would know, they would taste of your goodness, of your majesty, of your glory, forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.